You are now listening to the Master Jmehan Podcast. Episode 13. The 13. Illuminati. Bloodlines. This episode may be deemed inappropriate for some listeners. If you have been abused or are a minor, you should stop now. This episode builds on the previous ones. The family histories we are about to illuminate and summarize can be difficult to fully validate. Luciferians live in mythos and work hard to create a personal and family story that screams of the unique and fantastical. In short, they make up family conquests and rags-to-riches stories to hide their true origins and benefactors, as well as to push their master's agenda. You are going to see plenty of examples of what we are trying to say by that.
We are as a people, and we should have a society.
I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
The vision of Joel has been fulfilled.
So the name of this project is FunVax.
We don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic.
We'll eliminate this behavior. And we believe that's
the best
way to get
that.
Do you think the first gay president or the first
woman president? Well, we already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down. Me too, Michelle, is a trend.
But you know, there's quite an awakening coming.
Let's explore some worldwide genealogical history by stepping into the darkness. Or as some Luciferians trigger, it's a small world, after all.
It's a world of witchcraft, a world of sins. It's a world of corrupt, dirty politicians. There's so much to destroy, that's the work we employ. It's a dark world after all. It's a cruel world after all. It's a vile world after all. It's a corrupt world after all. It's a wicked, 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 wicked world.
In a mockery of Jesus Christ's 12 apostles, which are a symbol of the original 12 sons of Father Israel, Lucifer established 13 official bloodlines to oversee his committee of 300. Who have been charged with preparing the entire planet to openly crown him as king of the world, post-Christianity. Satan has mentored and prepared these 13 families for many centuries. Each of these 13 have a head patriarch, which we would call a high wizard. These imagine that they are dragons, and so they imagine dragons. A dragon, real or imagined, is a snake with legs. Now hear this warped sermon or confession.
When the days are cold and the cards all folding, the sayings we see are all made of gold.
I wanna hide the truth, I wanna shelter you, but with the beast inside, there's nowhere we can hide. No matter what we breed, we still are made. My kingdom come, this is my kingdom come. When you pull my key, so last of all. When the lights fade out, all the sinners crawl. So they dug your grave in the masquerade. We'll come calling out at the mess you've made. Don't wanna let you down, but I am hellbound. Oh, this is all for you. Don't wanna hide the truth.
Recently, the lead singer of this group admitted that he had taken a blood oath with the Illuminati in exchange for power, fame, and money. This song says exactly all of that and gives some insight into what it is like for an insider who knows that his inserted demon can be seen in his eyes, especially when he is in the heat of sex. Are you starting to see it? He did it for the power, but he is starting to understand that what he has gained here will be his only kingdom come on earth. But earth life is fleeting, particularly as you get older.
They say it's what you make, I say it's up to fate, it's woven in my soul.
This imagined dragon is starting to understand what Queen Elizabeth II of England recently discovered. Lucifer cannot and will not support his children after death. And you can't take anything but your hellbound soul with you. When the head patriarch of the bloodline dies, their position as king is passed down to another head male, who then sits on the family throne until he dies and the cycle continues. Most of these attempt to extend their lives into immortality, if possible, with adrenochrome, and this hence is the beginning of the mythology of the vampire. Before beginning, it is important to understand that these families have a deep and vested interest in hiding their true origins and motivations. They have paid marketers and historians millions to invent mythos about them. Most of these family mythoses are rag-to-riches stories of hard work in following the American dream. In this, they are exactly like Scrooge McDuck.
Bah! Humbug!
The process became easier for them when the world fully embraced fiat currency instead of a gold or silver standard. Today, they can print money on demand and give it to whomever they want to make rich.
What's this world coming to, Cratchit? You work all your life to get money, and people want you to give it away.
More on that at another time. In this episode, we will use the Springmeier occult genealogical categorizations, as it is one of the clearest to understand. Let's take the 13 bloodlines in brief, with some limited commentary. Consider this a primer on the rich and powerful, with more to come as we continue. These are the bloodlines who are attempting to run, and may very soon actually run, the entire world. Part 1. The Astor Bloodline. The original father of the American Astor fortune was John Jacob Astor, born 1763 and died in 1884. He was born into a Jewish bloodline in Waldorf, Baden, the Dukedom of Germany. Researchers will find also many conflicting stories about the Astors' origins, that it will become quickly obvious to everyone that they are dealing with secrets that the family wants to keep hidden. In 1784, John Jacob came to America after first stopping in England for instruction. There, he was tasked with increasing British control over the states, since they were still terribly embarrassed after the American Revolution. Thus began the myth that he arrived penniless
but was quickly embraced as a Mason, where he rapidly rose in rank to be the head of the New York Holland Lodge No. 8. This was one of the lodges tasked by the Illuminati with infiltrating all American Masonry. American Masonry was not originally Illuminati-controlled, like much of it was in Europe. And here we see evidence of the first myth. Lodge No. 8 spoke English and was composed of important, wealthy New Yorkers. Yet we are told to believe that shortly after JJ arrived in New York penniless and unable to speak any English, he was promoted to headmaster of an important Masonic lodge of wealthy English speakers. Sure. The European lodges believed that they were the reincarnation of deep Egyptian mysteries. More on this at another time. Those who knew JJ personally always said that he was a strange and cruel man. Even those friendly to him said that he was cold-hearted, had no charm or wit at all. As an example, one associate said that at a dinner party for some of the richest men in America, JJ discovered that he needed a clean napkin for his dirty hands. So, instead of requesting a new one, he would just wipe his filthy paws on the shirt of anyone sitting next to him. Despite all kinds of rude things like this, he would rise higher and higher in Masonic circles. Astor quickly got into real estate, and before long was given a special dispensation to sail cargo despite American embargoes. In 1807, the United States government placed an embargo on all U.S. sailing ships, except for Astor's. He made around $200,000 profit in 1800s money. That's millions by today's standard. He took in even more profits during the War of 1812, which crippled almost all other Americans. John would expand into Chinese opium, where he would make another fortune. Opium is a drug that can best be used to make morphine to lower human pain, but at worst, it can create an altered state in humans and was the first form of ancient pharmakia, which means drugs in English, which means sorcery in Greek. Wizards and witches cast spells on dopes through sorcery. This seems like magic to the dope, but the fact was that they merely drugged him. To a man in pain, receiving a special potion to ease his pain was an act of powerful sorcery from a powerful wizard or witch. Today, we have taken their pharmakia, drugs, sorcery, and created Big Pharma, the grand sorcery, worth billions. JJ constantly fought to create monopolies, one of the means in which the Illuminati want to set up their New World Order Zion Utopia by controlling all means of human production and resources, the full meaning of John's Mark of the Beast. Before long, JJ took over the entire American fur trade and built Astoria, Oregon on the Pacific coast to deal with his monopoly. Such would later become the model for Chinese forced labor factory cities, which they plan to return us in the United States to someday. He was always a major stockholder in the primarily British-owned Bank of the United States, the forerunner to our Federal Reserve. Britain still controls our banking system, even though most Americans don't know it.
Britannia rule the waves.
Other families who have married into this bloodline are the Roosevelts, the Backhouses, and the Force family.
May the Force be with you.
It was FDR, a Roosevelt, who illuminated American greenbacks so as to place a on them and on Americans wishing to buy and sell with one of the many marks. The Astors were members and supporters of the Order of the Knights of the Helmet, the Rosicrucians, the Naughty Hellfire Club, and the Order Saturnus, a very ancient secret society that worshipped Saturn as God. We will have more on this. The Li bloodline. The Li family of China are the only known Oriental family in the illuminated 13 bloodlines. the Asian races descend from Noah's son Shem, and so claim special authority over the rest of the human family because Noah declared Shem to be his heir in terms of heavenly authority. The Chinese have been paramount in the Illuminati drug trade. Their national move to communism by killing off their ruling houses in favor of Illuminati patsies matches Tsarist Russia's history in ways impossible to ignore. Those emperors and kings that they have been unable to control have been forcefully removed by mobs. This started with the French Revolution. The Illuminati needs the Li family because since the communist Chinese Revolution, they have needed a race that they can experiment on. The people of China have paid a heavy price for this. The Chinese Illuminati families today have been set up to believe that they will be allowed to conquer the United States and rule both sides of the Pacific at a future time. What they don't yet understand is that the British royal crown will betray them. When the United States defaults on her debts to England, they are planning that since America will fear a Chinese invasion, we will run to the British, since they believe we would rather resubmit to England than be controlled by the Red Chinese.
Britain never shall be saved.
They will be mistaken on both these fronts. This would have happened already by now, except that Americans own too many guns, and the American military is still too homegrown. This is why internally, we are constantly attacking both our military and our citizens' private gun rights. The Bundy Bloodline. The Illuminati Bundy line have placed themselves as advisors to national leaders worldwide. In America, they were included on many unofficial and official councils since the Americans were forced to accept fiat currency and maritime law.
Britannia rule the waves.
In stages after Lincoln's murder. We will have more on this. The best known Bundy is, of course, mass murderer Theodore Bundy. One can't indoctrinate multiple generations of children in satanic torture and not occasionally have one snap on the public scene. A careful study of Theodore's life, the parts that haven't been scrubbed, gives you the clues. Bundys are heavily involved in the Skull and Bones clubs and have advised U.S. presidents at key historical moments from war to assassinations. Next time you study unwhitewashed history, perk up your ears and keep an eye out for Bundys in high offices, especially behind the scenes. They pull the strings for those they are ordered to puppet. The Kennedy Bloodline. The Luciferian Kennedys are more difficult to trace, as not all Kennedys are Illuminati. There are upwards of 300,000 Kennedys in the U.S. It is the 15th most popular name in Ireland. The Kennedy family descends from Brian Kennedy, whose bloodline is sought after in Illuminati circles. The most famous Kennedy in America is, of course, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States. Today we know a tremendous amount about President Jack and his brother Bobby, how they were raised, and all of the hedonistic things that their father taught them to do. From the many biographies written about them, we know that their father, Joseph Patrick Kennedy, was not a nice man. Somehow, your clue to mythos. Joe Kennedy was made an important bank president by the age of 25. One of the youngest men ever to become such. He became a multi-millionaire as a result of taking short positions following the 1929 stock market crash, which he somehow knew was coming. When movie making started in California, Joe tried desperately to monopolize the industry. He made huge profits from reorganizing and refinancing several Hollywood film studios. He would later merge with Cecil B. DeMille's distribution company. He was unsuccessful in his attempts to take over Universal Pictures, but was able to force Greek American, Alexander Pantages to sell his empire to him. When Joe first approached him with an offer to buy him out at $126 million in today's money, Alexander turned him down. So Joe got him accused of being a rapist, and after Alexander's reputation was crushed, Joe offered him less than half the original amount, and he took it. Pantages, who claimed that Kennedy had set him up, was later found not guilty, and the girl who had accused him of rape, Eunice Pringle, confessed on her deathbed that Kennedy had masterminded the entire plot to frame Pantages and take over his empire. In Hollywood, the Kennedy men were big into the casting couch, with both father and sons trying out the various actresses before putting them on the screen. Joe ultimately formed RKO Pictures and made a huge amount of money. Some of his most successful distribution deals came from Walt Disney's cartoons and animated features, the same ones that are used in mind control programming.
Oh boy!
Joe Kennedy's power and deals go on and on. We will have more about him at another time, but in terms of our discussion here, after his mafia connections successfully bought his son the presidency, he had a major stroke a mere 11 months later. God is very quick these days. It paralyzed his right side, then shortly after he lost much of his speech, but not his mind. With therapy, he did improve somewhat, but was never again the powerhouse he had been before. It seems that with him so incapacitated, Jack and Bobby were at last free to be the men they wanted to be. We do know that Jack was murdered shortly after he exposed the Illuminati in a national speech and then declared that the United States was going to attach its wealth to silver and end America's use of the British-controlled Federal Reserve banking system, which is owned by the Illuminati. This is the real reason that Jack and Bobby later were murdered. Here is a portion of the speech where President Kennedy, in an attempt to be true to his oath of office, to protect our republic, betrayed the Illuminati to warn his country. This is the speech that cost him his life.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
More on this at another time. The Freeman Bloodline. Of the very many Freemans who stand as advisors to the elected presidents and generational tyrants, male and female on the earth, the most important, historically, was Gaylord Freeman. European crusades into the Holy Lands and the Prieuré de Zion was brought about because the occult understands that if John the Revelator is to be understood correctly, there was supposed to be some renewing of God's power on the earth around 1000 AD. They sought to control this moment on earth by controlling both Christianity and Jerusalem. The occult further understands that earlier Christianity leaned on the apostles and the greater family of Jesus Christ for its original leaders. The Bible has preserved for us the truth that Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. In other words, Mary had other children after she gave birth to the Lord. Theologically, non-Catholic Christians have no problem with this because they know that Jesus was sent to dwell among us and be as one of us in his humanity. A large part of this was for him to set an example to us in all things, as how we were to pick up our cross and follow him back to the Father and back to redemption. This included how we were to act in terms of family and siblings. When the Roman Catholic Church chose to crush all secular Christianity and bring it under the head of what we call the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, much of the attempt was to try and set up Rome to be God's choice for John's sixth seal. To wax Roman, they were soon hoisted upon their own Picard and had to invent dogma to justify their understandings and corruptions of Christianity. One of these was the destruction of any mention of the Lord's greater half-family through his mother Mary. More on this soon. In order to control the world, Catholic and powerful Jews created Le Prieuré de Zion. Today, this organization is mocked openly by the occult in order to keep it and its histoire hidden. The ancient organization does exist. In short, its goal is very simple. They plan to return Jerusalem to its ancient Noetic status as capital of the world and place their version of the heir of King David on the throne as king of the New World Order. Here is Walter Cronkite saying exactly that before the modern incarnation of the same Poirier.
You know that we have come to the point of our really being here this evening, and that is to honor with the Norman Cousins Global Governance Award, Walter Cronkite.
Even as with the American rejections so many years ago now of the League of Nations after World War I, our failure to live up to our obligations to the United Nations is led by a handful of willful senators they pander to and are supported by the Christian Coalition and the rest of the religious right wing, that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. Any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
The Freeman bloodline believes that they hold David's blood. But they are not the only Illuminati bloodline to think that. When they meet up with a contact within their greater coven, or someone that they didn't know was a part of their greater secret combination, sometimes the code of greeting will be, "It's a small world, after all." Back through the water curtain. We will explore more Illuminati bloodlines of the 13 in part 2. But bear in mind that it is unfair and indeed inaccurate to assume that everyone who shares an Illuminati last name are members of the occult. It is common for newbies just learning the scope of this evil to see a Satanist hiding behind every bush.
I've spoken of 1,000 points of light.
While sometimes there is, one must not assume that. Many have escaped their heritage, often at great personal expense. And so before assuming there is a Satanist lurking behind your family tree, it is wise to look for compelling validation of such by watching for more than one indication, such as the ones we have been providing in this podcast. Don't assume that your neighbor is totally a wicked witch. But, when in doubt, don't let them babysit and cancel any of your kids' sleepovers at their house. You might be surprised to learn how often those are used to program another's children. Fair use claim. We are claiming fair use for the items in this podcast in which we do not own the copyright. United States law allows us to use items copyrighted by others in this podcast without their permission in the manner that we have under fair use. American courts have ruled that using another's copyrighted items in this manner is crucial when commenting and illustrating subject matter. Otherwise, news and commentary in the public discourse would be hindered, which is a violation of our constitutional rights, including our freedom of speech and freedom of the press, etc. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
The Masters Mayhem podcast will continue.